We'll call me anywhere then. I was just waiting for you to get back. So, so do you want us to do roll call, or you could just write it down yourself?
I got it.
Okay.
And minutes were approved last week.
They were.
On their side, yeah. So.
So we'll jump right into feedback and observations from the joint meeting. I don't know if you want to share anything, Rick, from it.
Why don't you start off and I'll share.
Oh. I would say that Chuck did a very good job of recapping what where we've been, where we're going, and what we'd like to do. He had a nice statement. I provided a little bit of input, basically saying we're looking at what's best for the citizens, not what's necessarily best for one organization or the other. Rick talked about the synergies of the operation, potential budget savings that are possible, but also cautioning the boards that there also might be with any kind of what we learned from one of the other groups, where it was a $500,000 overrun to what they expected. And then essentially was open up for questions at that point. A little bit of confusion up front, I think, from some of the commissioners about what the meeting was called for. And then both of the chairs explained that it was more for an update, for us to provide them an update. And really then the board just thanked us. And then the major part of the discussion, I think, was regarding the town and county fire potential annexation. So I don't know if you had anything else to it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it was interesting. There was a couple things. I mean, I'm not certain to the degree of how in tuned everybody is, because Frank from one of the commissioners from the fire said his first question was, can you really tell us why we're here and what we're supposed to get out of this? Which was interesting in my observation, because that's what Mark had alluded to, that there was some confusion. I mean, they thought that we wanted the meeting. Now, you know, in essence, we had discussed it, but I guess it more came from their boards that they wanted to meet. So it was interesting. And then there was a potential motion that was going to be brought up, and I think it was collaboratively to, you know, have some running a running counter group, which it never came up. But they thought that it was interesting. At least Frank thought that we were the one that was bringing that motion up. So I'm not certain how connected, you know, some of the members are.
Between that, fire, PhD.
Or even between the chair and maybe the rest of the members of the commissioners. So, and maybe it was just the fact that, you know, it's just, you know, maybe we haven't either telegraphed well enough, or it was that, you know, they haven't been dialed in. I mean, it could be for a multitude of reasons, but it appears that there seems to be a disconnect. And so I thought that was an interesting observation. The PhD board, I think at least more from Commissioner Smith, there was a real push to try to get something out the door very quickly. Unless I misread that, but she seemed to want to get Chuck to you know, get product going. She wanted Chuck to bring maybe the two chiefs together so that they can start discussing how they're going to execute on it and so forth. There was a real push to try from her, not from Chair Edwards, but from one of the commissioners. There was a lot more of a thrust on, from her on getting going. I think that there was, I think, very little from the audience. If I remember, there might have been a question or two. the main thrust came from Duncan, and Duncan really interjected. I thought he went a little further than I would have perceived he did. He should have, but of course that's just my opinion. He talked about annexing and maybe getting started on annexing the city into the fire department. And I mean, there seemed to be a nod and acknowledgement that that should happen from the fire board as well as from Duncan. But you know, there wasn't any carrot. There was no carrot thrown out of why to do it. I mean, it was just, we ought to get started looking at it and maybe the process to do it. But I think it was evident that there wasn't going to be a huge carrot unless we came up with kind of a carrot to do that. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mark.
No, I think what Duncan was indicating, it was, how do you sell it? I mean, I think that what I heard is the fire district recognized that they've discussed the whole annexation issue for a number of years, well, really since the contract was in place. And what Duncan was discussing is, how do you sell the town residents to increase their taxes, and really looking to say the work product from us potentially would be that catalyst to allow them to sell that as the first step to going forward, with Duncan also saying that the savings or the money from not having to contract with fire for fire service that could be used for street improvements, road improvements, or whatnot. And so, but not thinking maybe that was enough to sell it to the town residents to essentially increase their property taxes for service they're already receiving.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and a couple of folks I heard from is that, you know, we didn't really authorize for that money to be used for roads or things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I think it will demonstrate potentially that, you know, unless there's a good, if there's a good motivation, it could be a bit of a, you know, an uproar battle, mm-hmm. An uphill view to get that through. So I thought that was interesting as well.
I don't know if that could be a legal issue or not. I know when I was on the InterElement Healthcare Foundation raising money that they were paying off bad debt and all that with the old medical center, and I had been on that board before raising debt money. So people donate money, you know, in a living or they donate mm-hmm. money specifically to IIMC, the Doctors for Healthcare there. In that board that's now been disbanded, there was discussion, well, there's still some money left in the board now that everything's cleaned up and tied up. We should give that to EMS, because they were running short of funds. And my argument against that was, if Mrs. Jones gave $5,000 specifically to go to this entity over there, you can't divert it and give it to somebody else. You need to give that money back. I'm not a lawyer, but I don't know if town would run into that same issue or not.
Well, and I think, you know, that's part of what, I think that's part of what Duncan was getting at, that maybe they need mm-hmm. to get started to think through some of these things and so on. Which is real important. Mm-hmm. So
I think that if you actually look at the town's property tax, there's nothing that specifically says fire service. It goes into the general fund. And they paid out of the general fund for fire protection with their town department. Now they're paying for fire protection with a contract with districts. So there's nothing on the tax bill that says X amount is going to fire protection mm-hmm. in town.
Another thing that Frank brought up that I think we need to investigate that was interesting to me.
Hey, Rick, can I just interject real quickly?
Sure.
Sorry. I just got to say, by the way, the minutes from the last week's board meeting, I put them on your in front of you. They were approved, and I tried to capture as many quotes as possible from people like
that. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
That might be helpful.
Okay. This one here?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, it's the one with this one.
Oh, okay.
And the one with the one that's black, black and white copy on there.
Okay. Well, then you can read, yeah, with some of more. But one of the things I thought was interesting that Frank brought up, and it's really something I want to research, is he suggested that over half of the fire authorities in the state actually have both a fire levy and an EMS levy instead of a single levy. And his reasoning behind it was that every 6 years, you know, it kind of continually keeps dropping the value. And what he says is every 6 years, it potentially gets voted on, renewed, and bumped back up to its high level again, as opposed to one that just kind of keeps going like this. Now, you can go for lid lift, but you go through that process instead of just going through. So he said about half of them still have an EMS and fire levy. It'll be interesting to see, because we've discussed about disbanding the EMS levy and just having a total fire levy. Mm-hmm. But according to him, he said that's not the case across the state. So it would be, that's one of the things I want to at least get.
Does anybody know what the original levy amount was for the fire district levy? Because I think the hospital district levy was 75 cents to start with. Over time, it's fallen. Now it's 40 cents. And we could, with a simple majority vote, raise it all the way up to the original amount, because it's just a little.
I don't think it was ever 75. I think it's ceiling at 50.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the hospital district,
not EMS. EMS, hospital district.
I'm just using that as a comparison, because that's also a permanent levy, like the fire. So now the fire levy, depending on whether they have to do a lid lift or a new levy, is sort of a big deal.
Right, and so I think, you know, they're just questions we need to understand. So when we recommend, you know, if over half of the fire authorities are that way within the state, you just need to understand what it is and make certain the recommendation that we're making, or maybe we just don't make that recommendation. You know, they deal with a levy and parse it out as best they feel they would, and here's the amount of dollars that probably would need a budget to get it done and be reasonable about it. But anyways, I thought
And you have to look at what the levy rules are as well, because as Nathan is saying, is there's a drop as the property values have gone up, because it's capped at a dollar amount of tax collected. So as your property values go up, the levy rate actually goes down.
It's down, right.
And then if you're if the
property values drop, you can't raise the levy but 1%.
Well, no, there's still, depending on how the levy is set up, some levies go back and they say, okay, your total tax collected is 100, say it's 100,000. If the property values drop, they raise the levy rate back up, so you collect $100,000.
Yeah, but you can only go up each year a certain amount.
Above the $100,000, correct.
No, I thought it was above whatever the one was previous. It's the not above
the dollar amount that you collect.
All right. Yeah, you know, I trust you. I think you're probably right. Yeah.
But not all of them are that way. That's what I'm saying. You have to look at the language that is specific to the levy rate. I believe a fire levy, I could be wrong on this, but I believe the fire levy is based on that dollar amount. So you can collect, let's say that you want to collect $100,000, so you set your levy rate based on the valuations for that $100,000.
Right.
If the values drop, if you still have capacity in that levy, it'll go back up to whatever your...
Even though it's greater than 1% or 2%, it could be 10%.
Because it's on that $100,000. That's what the 1% is on, is what you're collecting as the tax. That's what the 1% is on, not on the levy rate. The levy rate just establishes that it's that $100,000 is what the 1% on. You're going to go 1% of the $100,000.
Okay, so you could only collect then 101,000.
Yes.
And then whatever the rate is that gets you to 101,000.
Correct. But there's a maximum on those levies. And
but
so,
what happens if it goes down to 9? Let's just say it was 100,000 to start, and over 2 years or 3 years, it's dropped down to 90,000.
It won't drop down. The only thing that's moving is the levy rate to maintain you at 101,000, 102,000, 103,000, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, but the value of assessed values could drop down significantly.
Then my understanding is that if that drops back down, your levy rate goes back up, so you collect
proportionally.
I did not know that.
Yeah, see, that's
interesting.
That's different than, I think, EMS levy. That's what you have to look at as well.
Okay. So, yeah, so there are points that we probably need to really investigate. So, I mean, I'm thinking that we need to get somebody in here that would help us to best understand, mm-hmm. interpret, and then to really... So that just started me thinking about that piece as well. So he brought that up.
We need historical data as well. We need to find out what was the original levy rate for the permanent fire levy. And can they absorb EMS with a simple lid lift? Or do they have to go out for a new levy? Because if they're like the hospital district levy, right, we're all the way down at 40 cents per 1,000 assessed value. Or originally, say, it was 75 cents. Simple majority vote, we can raise an extra $1.5 million.
You could.
Right?
You could.
Because the original amount was 75
right.
cents.
Right, and that's what he's saying. Every 6 years, that does happen in EMS. But yeah. with permanency, it doesn't
it's a
happen.
Different thing.
Correct,
yeah.
So you
yeah.
could have an enormous amount of slack there in the fire mm-hmm. district levy, or you may not. And if you don't have slack, then you're talking a new levy, which means turnout requirements. And validation requirements.
It would. And so, yeah, and so we have to just see. And that may yeah. be why they keep EMS levies. Maybe in the consolidation, they've just kept both levies going as opposed to having, you know, have to consolidating them and just having one levy.
You could do one something level. Like that, or you could do a subsidy for a year or two until turnout. Because it's the last general election, mm-hmm. right? So you could wait 2 years, because next year's general election fall 2019, you're going to have a much lower turnout than the general election.
Because you have to have
year.
A certain percentage of the...
And you need 40% of the last general election to certify.
Which in this case
results.
Was like 82% of the voters.
It was really
voters,
high.
Very high.
Right. Yeah.
Voted. Yeah.
So that makes a really high standard if you want a new levy. Now, if you're just doing lid lift, all you need is a simple majority vote. There's no there's no turnout requirement. So that... rate, the fire district 3 rate matters a lot. The original rate, not just what it is now.
So, yeah. So
I wouldn't even worry about the original rate. The original rate doesn't matter because they have a maximum amount that fire can levy.
Well, it matters because you can raise you can raise the tax to make up for absorbing EMS all the way up to that amount with a simple majority vote. That's why it matters.
If you're asking for a levy lid lift, you can go above the you can go up to the maximum that you're allowed to levy for the fire district. Because you're going back to the voters and saying, we want to lift the levy rate up to this rate, whatever the case may be.
I thought a lid lift had to do with the lid on tax increase on the 1%.
It is, but what I'm saying is let's say that you are... Let's say the original one was 75 cents, but then uh-huh. you can go up to $1.50 maximum. And right now, because of values, it's at 50 cents.
Right.
Right?
If
they wanted to say, you know what, we're going to go out, we're going to ask the voters to approve another dollar on top of our 50 cents,
uh-huh.
they could do that.
That's not a new levy?
No, they're going for a lid lift. So they're asking to raise that 50 cents, which is what their levy's at right now.
I thought a lid lift only had to do with the...
So remember, the levy rate is, and again, I'm not a tax attorney, and this we probably need to have somebody in here. The levy rate is based off of what dollar amount you want to collect. And so that's what I'm saying, that's $100,000. So this is the base. You're going in uh-huh. and you're saying that we want to collect... and this is the 1% is based off of this dollar value, not the rate itself.
Right.
So as your property values go up, this rate goes down.
Right.
Because you can only collect so much. If you want to go back to the voters and you want to say, you know what, we want to bring in $150,000 in new money. This is your levy lid lift. So you're asking to increase your levy amount to raise this additional money on top of the $100,000.
Uh-huh. See, I thought, so I'm with you, I understand. The only place where there's a disconnect in my mind is with the very last part, and that is, I thought that, you know, the lid is the 1% maximum every year.
That is on that, that's on that total dollar value.
But I thought you could never go past the original rate passed by the public. You can never go higher than that rate without a new vote.
That's what I thought. You could go up 1% per year, but not a higher rate.
So I think, I mean, maybe we'd have to look at it. But what I'm saying is let's say you're collecting $100,000 and your levy rate is 50 cents. The values go up, so now you're down to 45 cents.
Right.
And you're still collecting 100,000. You're collecting 101 now. Mm-hmm. The values, can you, now you're down to 40 cents. That is that 1%. The 1% is on the total dollar amount that you collect. The levy rate continues to go down.
Right.
If you want to do a lid lift, you want to raise that amount. My understanding, it's on the dollar that the amount you collected.
Okay.
Whatever.
It's awfully thorny.
Yeah. It is.
Whatever.
And that's where we need to have somebody who knows.
Yeah. Whatever it is, we need to have somebody come in, I think, and share with us there.
I mean, you would know. You're the.
I don't deal with the. I mean, I don't set the levy rates, and I don't collect the property tax. So I'm just telling you how I understand it.
Right.
Because the county did do a lid lift request for specific programs, and it was a dollar amount that the county was saying, we want to collect this much additional funds to fund these programs, which then went out and it worked into a per thousand rate that the voters voted on.
Yeah.
And that... I don't know if they had to go and say, well, what was our total property tax rate we've ever collected in the past? I don't know if that was ever factored in there. I just don't know. I wasn't.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There are a few kinds of, I was researching this today. There's a few different kinds of lid lifts, basically. I mean, you can do the single year lid lift. So you know, you're at 40 cents, say, which is what hospital district levy is, or say you're 46, like the EMS levy, and you know you're only allowed to take the 1% increase. So you could pass a single year lid lift, which is where you take higher than 1% for 1 year, and then after that you just take the 1%. Or you can do a multi-year lid lift, which is where you're taking more than 1% for multiple years. And then at the end of that period, it either reverts back to what it would have been if you only had 1%, or you can continue to take 1% past the last amount. So say for 4 years you took 2%, you're up to a certain amount. You can get, and then after the lid lift is over, you continue to take 1%. But if it's a temporary multi-year lid lift, it actually reverts, which is what happened with the hospital district levy. It was a multi-year temporary lid lift. So over many years, they were taking more than 1% per year. But at the end of that lid lift, it reverted back to what it would have been if they were only taking 1%, which would have bankrupted the medical center. And so they had made that contract with Peace Health instead of passing another multi-year lid lift. But, and then the last thing you do is an excess levy, which is where you can take more than the statutory maximum for 1 year. So you could take, if you're an EMS district, you can take 60 cents if you want. But it's an excess levy and is subject to validation requirements and turnout. And actually, there are EMS agencies in this state that take an excess levy for 1 year over the rate that they're allowed, and then they use that to actually pay wages and operations for several years. So taking a big lump sum for 1 year, then they're using that to pay wages. And that's how they're able to run an EMS agency with that limitation of 50 cents on the dollar. So there's like all these different options, and it gets tremendously complicated. And when you're trying to think about what to recommend to the boards, it's like, how do you make sense of all this? Because there's so many
options. I think our approach needs to be is that what's a reasonable budget? What's a reasonable... because sustainability has to be built into the product. And so if it can't sustain itself, if it needs excess, let's say, levies, and then it, but it's going to be a 3 year and then they're going to need it again, it's really, then you, and then it's not approved.
I don't know how you do that.
Then you can't. So I think, you know, we've got to at least recommend what should be a reasonable levy, or a reasonable amount of dollars net necessary to bring in, just to be sustainable. Anyways, it brought thought, and I think it's a question that we need to have some experts come in on.
We do.
I think that's one of the areas. They were very appreciative. I mean, thank you.
Over and over again.
Thank you.
Yes.
I mean, everybody prefaced every comment with thank you. They were very appreciative. I felt good that they didn't push. Like I said, Commissioner Smith was the only one that really pushed on the timeline. There might have been a little bit of disappointment. And I thought Duncan did real well. I was surprised he went as far as he did, but I thought he did real well in substantiating and supporting the process and mm-hmm. so forth. And that, but I really think he also feels like it's really going to need, you know, this organization to really, if there's solution in mind, to be able to present it to the town residents, you know, to get an approval. And then I think, it adjourned. So
it wasn't a long meeting.
Back to what one of the fire commissioners said, that a lot of EMS is running under, they have their separate levies, but they're still running underneath the fire administration.
Yes.
And we've discussed this several times here. But that is still an option. They, you know, if we went all the way back and we were discussing that you maintain the EMS levy, you put the EMS system under the administrative control of the fire district.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so the EMS levy can still be managed by the fire commissioners.
Right.
I mean, basically, they're just collecting two levies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's an EMS levy that is housed underneath the same board that the fire levy is housed under. And so that appears to be very doable. And
mm-hmm.
so it really comes out of the auspice of not being under the hospital district. And so it's just that instead of combining it into one, they've left them as two levies that are managed.
Well, the fire district collects 54 cents on per $1,000 assessed value. And they could, in theory, collect all up to $2. They are by far, they have the most funding capacity.
Yes, sure, they have the highest threshold.
Yeah. You can go $1.50 for fire, then another $50 in EMS, all under fire.
As long as the residents so choose.
Yes. But this operation here running on 54 cents like seems pretty lean in that context. I mean, if there are agencies that need all it, if the legislature in its infinite wisdom agreed to up to $1.50, you know, there must be agencies that need a lot of money for this, which would seem to indicate that the fire department here is a pretty lean operation.